Ladies and gentlemen, this is Das Hobby, Germany's number one trading card show. And here are your hosts with the perfect podcast faces, Marcus and Dennis.
Ladies and gentlemen, another Das Hobby podcast episode is here. Thank you for listening, for tuning in. As you could figure out on your own, it's not in German this time. It's in English, so I'm trying my best to not mess it up. Especially because we got a wonderful guest who took her time on a Monday morning to record this with me. So welcome to the Das Hobby podcast, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having me, Dennis. Also, I forgot to ask, what time is it for you?
It's 11 a.m. for me. It is 8 p.m. right now.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, it is okay. It's good podcasting time for me. I'm more impressed by you. But actually, when we recorded with Ned Turner, it was a Monday morning. So I thought this guy has nothing to do, obviously. So yeah, nice that you took the time. Mama Breaks. Can we start with the name? How did that come about?
I just so during quarantine, so the COVID era, I was teaching from home. And, you know, I did see that cards were becoming popular again. I thought to myself, oh, I used to love Pokemon cards. I used to love baseball cards. I think I want to buy my dad a card for his birthday. So I just did the research and really just fell back in. And I decided I want to start collecting again, maybe build a collection with my boys. And as soon as I started searching cards on Instagram, on TikTok, and all of this, I started finding breaking rooms. I started joining breaks, and that's kind of where I fell in love with it. And I decided I needed my own account just for my cards. So I decided to become Mama Breaks. My kids are everything to me, so they call me Mama.
Oh, that's a coincidence. I call my mother Mama too. So that's we got something going there. Yes. So your boys, may I ask how old are the boys right now?
They're 5 and 3.
Oh, okay. So and how does collecting work for them?
So I definitely try to share it with them as much as possible. They already know that they already know my logo, Mama Breaks, and they say that, and they know that mom, you know, rips cards for a living pretty much. And I try to take them to the card shops with me if I have to do some shopping, and we rip cards together, and I help them graded, and they pretty much keep the characters that they love. They, my oldest, he has a pretty nice Spider-Man collection.
Okay.
So a lot of the newer Spider-Man stuff that's been coming out recently, we just rip it and we grade it and hold it. My youngest really likes Boba Fett.
Oh.
Because I also like Star Wars. So he has some nice Boba Fett cards and Star Wars stuff. So they both really love Marvel. So.
Okay. So and what is Mama collecting?
Definitely Star Wars too. Okay. I love Star Wars autographs. I grew up a Dodger fan, so I do love Sandy Koufax rookies, Clayton Kershaw autographs. It's part of my collection.
So is your story you collected as a child too, and then you took a pause, and then now you're back, or what's the story?
Correct. I loved Pokemon cards growing up. I got into Yu-Gi-Oh as well, and it wasn't until I was a little older, started playing softball, you know, learning baseball a little more competitively, I was opening packs of baseball cards. But I just really, you know, no one in my community really collected cards, nor was there a card shop in my community at all. So it's just something that I've kind of learned over time and discovered as an adult, this incredible world that is a hobby. So
and you're still baseball and Pokemon, right? I mean, that's isn't that a pretty different type of person who's collecting that usually?
Oh, I don't collect Pokemon per se. I open it with my kids because they like it, but I do mostly baseball and Star Wars for my personal collection.
Okay. So baseball, what is because I have to admit, like in Germany, and I think all over Europe, baseball is not that popular, to be honest. Yes. We don't have the history of it. We also don't have the history of the cards. So over here, What we had were we had like the football, the soccer stickers. That's what we did as kids. Like you had to buy the album, put the stickers in, and that is our story. Always it was always from Panini, and that was the thing. So baseball has no history here, and I don't know why, to be honest.
I just think it's a very American sport, so that makes a lot of sense. I feel like on the other end, baseball cards have the richest history here in
Yes.
America. They've been around since they were making them for cigarette packs, small baseball cards. So I think it's just definitely more of an American sport even now to this day. I actually visited Europe for the first time ever
I
last
saw
month.
that. Yes.
Yeah. And
So,
it's definitely something that I learned there. It's more sticker inclined and not as much, but it's very much fo football cards,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that is our main sport here. American football grew a little. Basketball is it's a little up and down. I mean, Germany won the basketball world championships right now,
Yes.
but that stays in the German media for like 2 weeks, and then it's back to football. And of course, now it's European championships. It's football is all over the place. So where
Yes.
have you been in Europe?
I went to Bilbao, to
Oh, nice.
Spain.
Oh,
It was
nice.
my very first time in Europe ever. So we were invited by Tops to watch the Women's Champions League final.
Okay,
So that
nice.
was very cool. Very
Tops.
much enjoyed that.
Okay, thank you, Tops.
Yes. And football, absolutely, being Mexican American here in Los Angeles, I feel like it's a core of why I love baseball so much and why I do love football so much. We were more like Mexican leagues over here. That's kind of what we watched, Chivas Americas, growing up. So the Euro is something that I've learned more as an adult, watching as an adult and watching the World Cup and everything. But as far as baseball, Fernando Valenzuela, I don't know if you're familiar. A Mexican pitcher in the 80s for the Dodgers completely took the league by storm. And I feel like that was around the same time my family immigrated to the States, or at least half of my family did, and very much grew up loving Fernando Valenzuela and listening to games in Spanish with with my stepdad and everything, and going to Dodger games growing up. It was a big part of our culture in LA. So.
I love the Spanish language so much. It was one of my biggest mistakes in school. In seventh grade, I could choose between French and Spanish. And me,
Yes.
silly child,
Yeah.
chose French.
I
Oh gosh, that was a big mistake.
definitely tell this to a lot of people too. So Spanish was my first language. My parents are we are I'm a first generation American here, born and raised in Los Angeles, California. And we grew up speaking Spanish. My grandmother, who lives with us, still speaks Spanish to this day, and my kids are learning Spanish, but it's definitely not something that I've learned at school. So I
Okay.
feel the same way. I was able to take Spanish in high school and college, and I didn't because I felt like I knew it enough, and you really don't. Like it's a different thing to actually study the language and just learn it because it's what your family speaks. But yes, I would say I'm fluent in Spanish for the most part.
I'm impressed. In German, we say beeindruckend.
Okay, I
Don't
guess I
try
don't
to
know
speak
how to
it.
repeat
It
that.
makes even
Yeah.
less sense to learn German than to learn French, to be honest.
Yes.
No one needs that.
I
So,
do appreciate the Bundesliga though.
oh yeah.
I do watch some games. I do. The product just released a couple of weeks ago. We had some pretty amazing hits. Joe Scally at a 25 that we jammed. Chaibi. Autograph out of five, rookie. Very nice stuff. This year's fun. This was a fun year for Bundesliga.
Yes, it was very important also for the Bundesliga that Bayern Munich didn't win. So because for the Germans it got boring. Like they won like
Yeah.
11 years in a row. It makes no sense. So
Yeah.
it was not great. I mean, back in the
Oh.
days you had Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich at least playing on one level,
Yes.
but it got pretty boring.
But
But yeah.
it's exciting to see the younger players and see who they develop into. Not nice knowing Jude Bellingham and Erling Haaland and seeing what they're
Yes.
doing now coming out of Bundesliga. Ripping them pretty early was fun. So
Are you also watching the European Championships by any chance?
yeah, I'm trying to keep up as much as possible. Yeah, I watched the England yesterday. It was a really great
Yes.
match.
Yes.
Yes. That was exciting. Jude Bellingham is amazing.
So we are playing Spain next. Germany versus Spain on
Okay.
Friday. Uh-oh.
Oh, so what do you think of
Of our
the
new kid, Musiala?
new kid? No, Spain,
Oh, Jamal.
Jamal, he's incredible. Yeah.
Incredible player. And also the German commentators love him already. But it is really impressive. The calmness is, I'm
Yes.
amazed by it. At that
As a
age,
seven, well, he's now 17, I think, but
yes.
as a 16-year-old, was
He's
the
grown up
youngest
now.
ever have a youngest in his debut to have a goal, right, in the Euros.
Yes.
Younger than even Ronaldo and Messi is, and Pele is incredible.
It's really incredible. Oh gosh, yeah, Friday evening is
Exciting.
let's see.
So how does that, I'm like, paint me a picture, like how does it get over there during a match like that?
So
So.
what we have in Germany is usually Germans are little, so we don't are that pride of our national of our country, to be honest. So I was living in the US, so you have your US flag out there and da 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 da. Germans don't really do that unless it's European Championships or World Championships. Then everybody's putting up the flag on the car and in the window.
Okay.
We have big so-called fan fests where you have like tens of thousands of people public viewing the
Yeah.
matches in the big cities. Like I live in Hamburg in the north here. And next to our to the football stadium of FC St. Pauli, they just went up to Bundesliga this year from second league to first league. Next to it is like a huge public viewing, like 50,000 people show up, and yeah, it's pretty amazing. But not only for the German matches, the Germans love to watch the Spanish team, the Portuguese team, and because Germany is more and more multicultural now, we have a lot of people from Turkey here. So the Turkey matches
Okay.
are really nuts. These guys know how to celebrate. It's nice. It's nice.
Cool.
We have one quarterfinals here in Hamburg. France is playing, so Mbappé is playing here, like 5 kilometers from my house. It's nice. That's where Germany is lit. Otherwise, we're very calm people.
Okay.
I
Very
don't know if you
exciting.
ever encountered any Germans or.
A few, yeah.
Are you in touch with some German collectors? Have you heard of some German collectors?
Personally, not directly, not anyone who I can name specifically, no.
Okay. So we're going to introduce you to some,
Yes,
and
I
I
might
see
have to make a trip out there.
on your Instagram there are a lot of German people following your account. I see the collectors we have in common. So yeah, a lot of interesting and big collectors are following your account here, like Kiki and Ivan, like the B brothers. Those are two guys that follow you. Great moments, Marcus. So yeah, people know you over here.
Well, I find that very, I'm very honored.
Isn't it odd? Isn't that like interesting that through collecting, the world is connected these days?
Yeah, I mean, incredibly so. I mean, I think it just changes by platform too. There's so many people that maybe know us on Instagram and don't know a huge world also that's on Facebook and on TikTok and all these other platforms. It's incredible to see. So there's, I think, more of us than we think.
So we're going to put the most important links in the show notes. But can you give us a little overview? Where do people find you, and what streams and breaks and everything people need to watch?
Definitely, Instagram's probably my main accounts where I post a lot of the pictures of what I'm doing, the trips that we're taking, and a lot of the pulls that we have from our breaks. And we do live breaking 6 to 7 days a week on the Fanatics Live platform, which is available on desktop and not for purchase quite yet. But we also do in Europe, but I think that's coming pretty soon. So you can expect to see me there live at least 6 days a week, most weeks. And we do a YouTube channel that we've been growing over the past few months and just sharing our adventures and trying to show you behind the scenes of really great, amazing hobby stuff. So been having a lot of fun on YouTube.
So 6 days a week.
Yeah. for the
It's
most
a
part.
so you have like a full-time hobby job.
Hobby operation, yeah.
That's impressive. That's impressive. How
Thank
was
you.
the transition from a quote unquote normal job to this? Did it ever get scary? Like,
Absolutely.
yeah,
Yeah.
right.
Absolutely. It was a big change. I was a middle school teacher when I started doing this on the side. I was really just doing breaks on the weekends, and it's not until, I decided to just really give it everything that I have, and we've been I'm going into year three of doing this full time.
I love these stories. That is so amazing. And I think it's also encouraging for our listeners because we also have some of those stories where people like had another job and then you at one point you have to ask yourself, so do I go all in or do I go back?
I think it's all depends on especially what you have set up for yourself. I definitely think the timing is really important. And really just having a plan and believing in yourself. Just to put it in really simple, there's obviously way more that goes into it, but in simple terms, having a plan, getting the timing to a place where, you have opportunities lined up or whatever it is, and then absolutely believing in yourself is very important. And not being afraid to ask for help. There's a
Yes.
lot of people who've been doing it, and reaching out always is open to anyone with
Yes.
me specifically. So,
And I also think that the hobby community is very open-minded, and of course there are some little negative experiences, but overall my experience is very very giving and very open.
I've had an incredible experience this far, almost doing this maybe, I think, going into three and a half, almost 4 years now. I've loved every minute of it. I've gotten incredible support, and it's been a lot of fun.
Can you share one or two like very special moments that you remember in collecting something or in going on YouTube or whatever it is where you were like, wow, this is happening to me. What's going
Oh
on?
man, I'm so blessed, Dennis. I have so many. But I definitely think one of them for me, collecting wise, was this something. What I do is something that my parents don't really understand still. My grandmother even less. This is just very much new to our culture and everything. And being able to take my dad to the Burbank Card Show, the very first one, and kind of showing him for the first time in person, kind of what I do in the community I've built and what I've been working on maybe for a year at that point or a little more. I was able to show him. I'm a Dodger fan, I'm a baseball fan because of him. So I was able to show him a really great card that we both enjoyed, and I purchased that, and it's kind of a memory of that for me, kind of telling my dad, this is what I've been doing. And I want kind of like your support, I guess. And he was very impressed by all of it. So that's a special moment for me. And that's a card that I'll always cherish. And second would definitely have to have been going to Europe.
Yeah, right.
I never really traveling is something that we never did as kids growing up. And even as an adult, I'd never really have had time or time to even think about it. So having this opportunity to go to Europe and actually being there and seeing an incredible new culture of people, and being that it was Spain and I know how to speak Spanish, I felt really comfortable there, and it was beautiful and I loved it. And being able to recognize that I was there because of cards was just a very moving experience for me, and very much excited about the future after that moment. So
I know you for only 25 minutes now, but I can honestly say that I'm happy for you
thank you.
that you experienced that. Like honestly, that is so incredible that and that is something that the hobby like I've heard some of those stories. Like we're at like round about 130 episodes right now, so we heard a lot of stories, but this for me what you just said about your dad. And that you could show him, look, Dad, here, and that he brought you to be a Dodgers fan. This connection, yeah, no money in the world can. Wow, yeah, that's amazing. I'm happy for you, honestly. That's really, really special. I don't even know how to get to my next questions then now, because it's we have to let it sink in. So
That was
guys,
a great question. Thank you.
guys, I really can only recommend that you follow her here, not only on Instagram, where whatever she does. I sense an honest person here, and a very giving person. And yeah, it's incredible. So let me ruin the mood now. So were there bad experiences in your collector's journey? Something that where you say, man, why did this happen? If I may ask.
I can't say there are. I'm just gonna take, I guess, a very generic approach here, is that even if there has been something specific, I couldn't tell you about it right now, but I've seen those opportunities. Definitely, there's always obstacles that arise in trying to do anything in life, trying to build any business, and I've always seen them as opportunities for growth. So they've definitely taught me a lot about building a business in this industry has definitely helped me grow as a person. So even those difficult situations, whatever they were, was I'm so happy that they happened because it's brought me and made me who I am today. And like I mentioned earlier, just, being a woman, being a Mexican American woman in this space, I definitely do stand out. That's not It's not nothing that, of course, is a secret here, but I still, even then, have felt incredibly supported and incredibly comfortable, and just really have been able to find my way through all of this is because of all the really great people that make up this hobby. So, very grateful and very happy.
So nice. But is there I agree with you, like, that even the low times, the negative experiences are part of growth. But is there anything that where you would say, look, guys, if you can avoid this mistake, you better avoid it?
100% is thinking that you have to do everything by yourself.
Okay.
In anything that you do, I think even making big card purchases, I think sometimes what scares us away from them is not going out and seeking others' advice. I think that helped me so much at the beginning, where it's like I wanted to buy a big card and I was kind of, well, I'm new. Well, maybe I am a little afraid to negotiate at shows, which that happened to me as well. Just kind of having someone to ask for advice, to having someone that you can ask advice, having someone that can that you can run like scenarios with, and somebody who has had more collecting experience than you. And this is with collecting, this is with building a business and anything, is I think one of the biggest mistakes you can make is thinking that you have to do it all on your own and not ask for help. So,
Wisdom and love. I hear wisdom and love, obviously.
thank you.
So, speaking about helping each other. So you said people, if they have a question, they can just hit you up on Instagram, wherever.
I feel like specifically my email would be best. Those I
Yeah, we put it in
definitely
the show notes. Yes.
do reply to no matter what. But yeah, and the socials can get a little away from me, which I'm working on. But yeah, that most definitely email, and of course, please reach out to me on socials and anything. I'm very excited to meet new people all the time. So
So where do you see the hobby in the next few years? I mean, they have it grew also over here in Europe. It grew incredibly. We didn't have a lot of conventions back in the days, but now we have like big conventions, one, two,
yeah.
3 day conventions. They always choose nice locations over here, to be honest, like not the classic convention centers. They sometimes go to basketball arenas, they go to football stadiums, take the whole VIP lounge and do the card show there. So there's a big development. So but where do you see it going the next years?
I'm definitely excited to see it grow in Europe. That's one thing that I realized, even being in Bilbao, which is smaller, but there aren't a ton of card shops over there just yet, not like there are here. So I think there is a lot of room to grow in Europe. I'm excited to see you on Fanatics Live and all this. And I'm very excited for what Fanatics is working on and bringing more athletes that are going to be really more hands-on with cards. We're already seeing it with like Antoine Griezmann, who loves to open cards and putting it out there that, you know, card collecting is cool. I think in 5 years, what I see is a lot more opportunities for collectors to connect with players. I think that's going to be a driving force, and that's going to be something incredibly amazing for sports fans, really. Because growing up as a sports fan, as a kid, being able to maybe collect my favorite player's cards and possibly meet them because I am collecting him so much because it's just a part of what I do. Like maybe like first person to collect the full set throughout the years of Bobby Witt gets to meet Bobby Witt, or he's like a big baseball player, you know, just something. I think more of that and more connecting to the fans, I think, is where I see the hobby going and what I'm excited to see.
Nice. Yeah, over here it's also getting in that direction. Topps does a good job here too to get some players to those events. And of course, like football is the big thing over here. So yeah, and they for the first time also for this European Championships right now, the sticker album was always a Panini album, but this year first time Topps. So they got the license for that, which is very big for them.
Yes. I did a couple of those. I'm working on one.
Yeah. Should we send you some stickers and everything over there? I can get
Yeah,
some.
I was able to get, I tried to get as much as I could in Spain too when I was
Okay. Ah, those Spanish people. We have the good stuff here in Germany.
there.
Man, that was a very, very nice talk. It was good to get to know you. I'm really thankful that you took the time to share with us, and I'm really sure the audience will appreciate it. So, is there anything that you want to tell the Europeans over here?
Thank you so much, Dennis, for having me on your podcast, for taking the time to talk to me and interview me. I am very honored that people know me in Europe, and I just, like I said, was there for the first time last month, and I absolutely loved it. And I hope that, you know, serving all of you is something that I am able to continue doing and always here, and happy collecting, everyone. So.
Happy collecting. Couldn't have said it any better. Thank you so much for taking the time, and it was a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.